I want you to, this morning we're going to be talking about prayer, and I want you to, you guys ready to pray? All right, now I want you guys to keep your eyes open, okay, and pray with me. Are you ready? Here we go. Praise Jesus.
Praise.
There you go. Help me, Jesus.
Help me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Help my neighbor, Jesus.
See, you can do it. You can pray. We all got a chance to pray there together. You know, I've been praying as long as I can remember. When I was a child, I remember before the age of 5 that I was already, my dad had taught us the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, and also Psalm 23. I knew by memory, and of course the Ten Commandments. You got to have those, right? Yeah. But all that, I memorized, knew all that stuff before the age of 5. And, you know, prayer is very wonderful and it's very personal. And I don't know if you guys remember this prayer that I used to pray, and I still pray even sometimes this day. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I would die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You know, our prayer journeys start all over the place in different places, but they're really special to us, those times with God. And I remember praying all the way up to I left for college, praying that prayer, praying the Lord's Prayer, calling out to Jesus in times of need. And so wherever you're at, it's never too late to begin a prayer life. You know, this morning at the other services, we usually do a reading from the Old Testament. And this morning we did a reading from the Old Testament, and I don't know if you guys remember this story, but it's a real important narrative in the Old Testament where God delivers his people. I don't know if you remember, but they're enslaved in bondage in Egypt. And he delivers his people, and he brings them out of Egypt, and he saves them from a life of slavery. And then he says, hey, I have a land that I've set aside for you, and I want you to go there and occupy it. And on the way there, God had instructed them to build a place for them to meet, and for him to meet with his people, primarily to meet with the leader, Moses. And I don't know if you remember the story, but Moses goes into the presence of God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going into the presence of God? Moses got a chance to go into the presence of God, and he laments to God, and he says, Lord, do not forget us, your people. Go with us wherever we go. Let your name be important among us. But at the end of his conversation with God, he asked if he could see his glory. And he says, Lord, show me your glory. And because we cannot see God face to face, and he knew if he did, he would die, he made a way as the Lord was leaving his presence to see a glimpse of God's glory. Moses got to see the glory of God. And I share that because by God's grace and his mercy, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And it's in the face of Christ, our Savior, Christ the Messiah, that we can catch a perfect glimpse of God in our presence. God sent his son to show us his glory. And it's his glory, his love, his mercy, his grace is all wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, in the New Testament, we catch up with Jesus, and he's with his disciples. And Jesus is sharing the kingdom values, what's important, what he wants his disciples to be all about. And you and I know, as much as we would like to live out that kingdom agenda, we know because of sin we're not able to, at least not perfectly. But Jesus comes to his disciples, and he's teaching them, and they're walking with them, he's discipling them. And then they ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. And so Jesus takes the time, and I think it's interesting that we call it the Lord's Prayer. I think it's out of reverence for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I think it ought to be the disciples' prayer. Our prayer. The prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, his believers, his followers. And so Jesus says, okay. And he says a couple of things. I want you to pray sincerely. I want your prayers to be simple. And here, I have a sample for you. And we get the Lord's Prayer. Because you remember, he says to us, he says in the book of Matthew, right before the Lord's Prayer, he says, don't pray like the hypocrites, but go to your room in a secret place and pray to your Father in heaven. And by the way, your Father already knows what you need even before you pray it. But I think he asks us in the Lord's Prayer, as his followers, as his disciples, to pray simply, to pray sincerely, and when necessary, draw back to the sample prayer that we have. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're coming back, we're drawing back. I'm going to do the first three petitions today, and then Pastor Dan's going to come behind me next week, and he's going to finish up the Lord's Prayer. So Jesus says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now I want to just talk about that first couple of words there, "Our Father." Now for you and I, to call God Father, if you've played the Lord's Prayer most of your life, you feel real comfortable reaching out to God and in a time of prayer saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven." And because our Father is very personal. It's a very personal way to talk to God. But understand, during Jesus' time, God was not ever really talked about in a personal way like this. It wasn't that they never called him Father, but he was Father to a nation, not to a person, or to a group of people, but to a whole nation. It's very impersonal. And Jesus instructs his disciples to say, "Our Father," because he wants us to have a personal relationship with our fathers who is in heaven. To be our Father would give us this idea that there's love, there's grace, there's acceptance. Not all of us have a good experience with our earthly father, but our heavenly Father is a Father of grace, of mercy, of love. Who he wants to be in relationship with us as we are his children and he is our Father. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about a story in my family. Way back when my sons were little, this is before Sophie even, my sons were little, my wife and I needed a break. So I called my dad, actually I called my mom. I said, "Hey mom, can you take the kids for a week?" Because I don't know what it was, I don't even remember where we were going or what it was, but I said, "Hey, mom, dad, can you guys take the kids for a week so Joy and I can get away?" And guess what they said? I don't know why they said it. They said yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, right? Help us, Jesus, right? And so they said yes. And so we actually took the kids, my sons, over there for a whole week. It was awesome. But then we had to pick them up. So we picked them up. We brought them home. And you know, as customary, not all families, but sometimes you go to the grocery store together, and we're walking down, we have the cart, and walking down the aisle, and just kind of doing our thing, we're getting our groceries, and we're walking down the aisle, and all of a sudden, Isaiah and Luke start throwing stuff in the basket, and I'm like, confused, I'm like, "What are you doing? Take that out of the basket and put it back on the shelf." Kept walked down another aisle. Isaiah and Luke started throwing stuff in the basket. I'm like, "What are you guys doing?" Well, they said, "When we're a grandpa and we go grocery shopping, we can put whatever we want in the basket." And I said, "Well, you ain't with grandpa no more. You're home now." You know? And I say that to say that my kids were in my dad's realm. They were in his area of influence. And if you know my dad's a very generous person, very gracious person, very loving, especially to his grandkids. And I could see how my dad would go to the grocery store and just say, hey, whatever you guys want, kids, just throw it in the basket. Go down the aisle, everything's good. But not at my house, right? What's funny, my parents came last weekend, and we went to HEB, walking down the aisle. And guess what? My parents start throwing stuff in the basket. How things have changed. Someday you'll be there too. Hey, what did my dad say? Well, son, I'm retired. All right, Dad, whatever. Generosity, love, to be in the realm of the Father, to see our Father as one who loves us, who wants to bless us, who wants to have a relationship with us, and wants to give us good things. That's how we ought to think of our God. I want to share a quote with you. I was kind of wrestling with the first petition, Hallowed be thy name. As I was wrestling with it, I had to go back and kind of remind myself, okay, what does Hallowed be thy name mean? And I went back to a quote from the Large Catechism that Luther wrote, Martin Luther, and he wrote this: nothing is so necessary as to call upon God insistently and to drum into his ears our prayer, that he may give, preserve, and increase in us faith and the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments, and remove all that stands in our way and hinders us in this regard. Jesus continues the prayer, our Father, hallowed be thy name. And I had to go back and ask myself, what does it mean to hallow God's name? And Luther, in the Large Catechism, he points us back to the second commandment, which is, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, we can look at the second commandment in two ways. One way, we're not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, meaning that we're not to misuse God's name. Now, if we flip the coin and think of that commandment in a different way, we're to use God's name when appropriate. That we're to call upon his name. Why should we pray? Because God commands us to pray. He commands us not to misuse his name, but he also commands us to call upon his name in the time of need. In Psalm 50:15, it says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. God wants us to call upon him, especially in the day of trouble, because he promises that when you call on him in the day of trouble, he will deliver you. And through his deliverance, we will shine as he shines. So not only are we commanded in this petition, and we pray to God to help us, hallowed your name, help us to pray and call upon you in our time of need. But Luther also points out that we believe that God makes a promise to us, that when we cry out to him, when we pray to him, especially in the time of need, that he will answer, he will listen. In Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. The question we have to ask ourselves when we say the Lord's Prayer, do we believe that we have, by God's grace, the right to call on him? And do we believe he will answer our prayer? Jesus goes on, and he says, our Father who art in heaven, and then he goes, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The second petition, your kingdom come. I had to ask myself the question, when does God's kingdom come? When do we see God's kingdom in our everyday lives? Wherever there's love, wherever there's unity. Isn't it awesome that we all agree that helping those who've been affected by the storm is a good idea? that God has called us at this time and place to allow His kingdom to have hands and feet in our community? Where is the kingdom? It's wherever there is unity, wherever there is love, wherever the Spirit is drawing us together around His Word to hear His Word. As good Lutherans, we say it's Word and Sacrament. Wherever God's Word is proclaimed, there the kingdom is. Wherever there's the sacrament, Holy Communion, Amelia is going to be baptized in just a few minutes over in the chapel. Wherever God has His Word is proclaimed, His promises made known, and He's drawn us closer to Himself and makes His glory among us. But we know that His kingdom cannot come on our own, because in our sinful nature, we don't have the capacity within us to love, to be unified, to have a unified desire to want to come into the presence of God and to hear His Word. We need help. And our help comes from the Lord. And He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us along, doesn't He? It says in Romans 14, 17, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." It is the Holy Spirit that converts us, that convicts us of our sin and our need for Jesus Christ. The gospel message, to know that we need Christ. We need what He did on the cross for us, so that when we stand before God and in His presence, in all His glory, when we stand before Him, we will be declared not guilty, but free, and given access to the presence of God for eternity. And that will bring us peace, and that will bring us joy, but it can only be received by the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us, that takes residence in us. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." No one can call Jesus their master of their life without the work and role of the Holy Spirit. Jesus goes on, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I had to ask myself the question, what is God's will for you and for me? Now, in the broad sense, we know that God calls us to live out the Ten Commandments. Love God and love each other. That's in the broad sense. But in the narrow sense, what is God's will for us each and every day? What does God desire more than anything in this world? In the narrow sense, I believe what God wants more than anything is for one more person to come into a personal relationship with Him. One more person. It says that the angels rejoice when one more person says yes to Jesus and receives His grace. Today is a special day. Amelia's going to be baptized. Praise the Lord. Come on now. She's right over there. By the way, if you hadn't had a chance to look at her eyes, she has some of the most beautiful eyes. But yeah, God's will is for one more person to come to know Jesus Christ and to know the message that we know, which is wrapped up in a simple word, the cross. We have come and we are convicted that what Jesus did on the cross for us was enough to bring us to God, to become His children, and to have the right and privilege to call Him Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, for those who are dying eternally. It's foolishness. But to those who are being saved, to those who have a future, an eternity, It is the power of God. In Galatians 6:14, it says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." May we make much of what God is doing today in Amelia's life. May we make much of what he's done in our lives. That we find ourselves today here, people of faith. Today we're about to come up and we're going to share communion with one another. And when we come up here, it's a statement of faith. I believe that I need the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. I need a tangible way to receive the gospel today. And so I'm going to get up out of my seat and I'm going to come down here. I'm going to kneel before the Lord and I'm going to receive him in a very special way in the Lord's Supper today. In Matthew 16:24, it says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." I was thinking about that, and I'm kind of sad this morning. My brother's headed to Minnesota. Why would anybody want to go to Minnesota? I have no idea. But he's going to Minnesota. He's going to be a senior pastor at this church called The Alley. Proud of my brother. I'm glad he's going. He's taking his family up there. Praise the Lord. A couple of months ago, I had a chance to sit around my brother. We kind of saw some things coming. We knew our time was short. My brother and I looked at each other, and we reminded each other that what our task here on earth is to do is spend every day trying to give a little bit more of our life away. I love my brother because he lives every day to give a little bit more of his life away. See, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not about your money. It's about your time. Taking up your cross is giving up a little bit more of your life today to someone else. We each have an opportunity to do that in many and various ways. But the last conversation I had with my brother before we headed out, as we charged one another to look for more ways and opportunities for us to give our lives away. I want to share with you a quote. I was with the 82nd Airborne Chaplain, and we were doing a devotion, and he says, "Hey, well, Chaplain Gonzalez, what are you going to be preaching on in the next couple of weeks?" I said, "Well, you know, I'm going to be preaching on October 1st on the Lord's Prayer." And so we had a little devotional time together, and he shared this quote with me that he got from a man named David Platt, who wrote, he's an author of a book called Follow Me, Radical, and Radically Together. He's 38 years old, and he's the president of the Southern Baptist Mission Board, and this is his daily prayer. "Lord, place me today where I can be the most effective in making disciples of all nations." I say it again. "Lord, place me today where I can be the most effective in making disciples of all nations." What if that was our prayer? "Lord, place us today where we can be the most effective in making disciples of all nations." You see, prayer needs to be simple, sincere, and God has given us a great sample. So let us pray. Are you ready? Eyes open. Are you ready? Yes. Praise Jesus! Help me, Jesus.
Help me, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Help my neighbor, Jesus.
Help me.
See, you can pray. It's that simple. Today, if you need a little bit of spark in your prayer life, our prayer team is taking a lot of work and effort to put some prayer resources back in the back for you. And I don't know about you, but sometimes my prayer life gets a little bit stale, and I need a little bit of help to get back into a daily routine of prayer. Our kids need to learn how to pray. We need to retrain our kids how to pray. The prayer teams put some special opportunities and special resources in the back just in case you need a spark in your prayer life. I ask that you take full advantage of that. And by the way, I heard they have kisses from God back there. And I think it's chocolate. So if anything, go get a piece of chocolate and get a kiss from God. Amen? God loves you. We love you here at Glory Day. Thanks for being here this morning. We're going to take our offering.